All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We want to welcome you to another Friday night discipleship class. It sure is good to see all of you who were able to make it here this afternoon, this evening. And sorry, we're starting a few minutes late. Just had some last-minute things to take care of. But here we are, and hopefully the audio is working well. The video, not so well, but little by little, we'll save up. We'll try to get some better materials for the church house here. All right, guys. So with that said, it's Friday night discipleship class. Hope you guys have your study book with you. The one book, Rightly Divided, the big book. If you don't, you have the best book, and that is the Holy Bible. We've been talking about the restoration of Israel. We've been talking about the promises that God has given them as a people. And I just want to let you guys know we got some fresh coffee, hot water for some hot chocolate or what have you. So feel free to make yourself a home. All right, guys. All right. So if you guys have your study book here, one book rightly divided, we are going to be on page number 583. 583. Today's chapter 42, pinpointing the day of the Lord. Pinpointing the day of the Lord. Let's go to open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us another day of life and breath, not promise, to make it here to church, God. It's a blessing to see people of their free will come into church on a Friday night. They could have been anywhere else, God, enjoying this world and good times with family and friends, Lord, but they chose to come to learn just a little bit more Bible, to help develop their understanding of the Word of God. And so tonight, I just ask and pray, God, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill us all with your Holy Spirit, so we can learn, God, from your word, and we can benefit from knowledge to help us edify other Christians, not to destroy, but to be a blessing, God, to strengthen others to trust the word of God. So, Father, please fellowship with us this evening. Forgive me of any sin or sins that I've committed against you, Lord, and please look to Jesus Christ on our behalf this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about this day of the Lord. Day of the Lord. Thank God that we have the Bible study software. And again, as I had offered any of you here today who want to do further study, I highly encourage you to get this Bible study software. It'll really help you to study your Bible. Not necessarily this Bible study software, but any. That way you can look up scripture verses, things like this. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look up in the whole Bible the day of the Lord. Because that is a specific day that is very important to consider for what we call future prophecy and judgment to come. Future prophecy and judgment to come. That is specifically identified as the day of the Lord. Now, there's the day of Christ, the day of God. So again, there's variations, if you will, in your Holy Bible. So that's why the best thing to do is just study out the phrase and then look in the scripture context of what you're looking at, and that's what's going to help you to identify what that day of the Lord denotes in that verse, in its historical context and its scriptural context within that chapter, within that book. Old Testament, New Testament, is this talking about the second coming of Jesus? Is it talking about his millennial reign? Is it talking about the judgment to come? So when you want to kind of think about those kind of things, all you got to do is just look it up, look at the chapter and the verse, and then begin to go off from there. All right? That's just some helpful study nuggets there. So the day of the Lord is addressed predominantly within the Old Testament, but mentioned by name in three New Testament passages. Three New Testament passages. So as you guys can see here, I just typed in day of the Lord. There are many other variations of that reference, if you will, to that future event. It's just worded differently. But I just wanted to show you guys specifically day of the Lord. And here you have it. It is found in 31 times in 29 verses in your King James Bible. Let's go ahead and look up the New Testament side of it. Go ahead, Brenna. No. So the Sabbath is just a day that God gave command to the nation of Israel to rest from their labor, and that would be from Friday evening, our Gentile time, 6 p.m., to their Saturday, 6 p.m. That's the Sabbath. That is just, that's a command that they have in the land of Israel to rest from their labors. Some of the things that they can do, for example, is start a fire on their Sabbath. They're not to travel. They're just to rest and just kind of have a good time with the Lord. The day of the Lord, however, is a future event, which we're going to study tonight. It covers the millennial reign, 1,000 year. It covers the judgment and the last time of the tribulation, that last 3.5 years. So there's some various aspects of this day of the Lord. And that's why as we kind of begin to study out this evening, we're going to be able to pick that up. So two different things. Oh, yeah, we can say that. But I celebrate the day of the Lord every day. Every day is the day of Jesus. Amen. No, I'm not being too brother spiritual. I know what you're saying. No, you're right. So the day of the Lord, we can say, hey, we are gathering on the day that the Savior rose, and that's the Sunday, the first day of the week. That's when we all should be at church. Obviously, guys, as you guys know, Wednesday nights, that's tradition. You know, Friday night's tradition is just what we're willing to do of our mutual faith to say, let's come together, brother, and study together. But there is a very interesting verse. This is a side nugget in the book of Acts. You know what? I'll just quickly show you just because we have this availability. Praise the Lord. We have Bible study here. Watch this. It says, let me just go ahead and type this in. And I think it's in the book of Acts. And I mentioned this to you a long time ago, but here's something cool. Sometimes when we think about our devotion to the Lord and our devotion to church, we think that we are advanced because we have the whole Bible. We have which Bible we believe in. We know what we believe in and our convictions and doctrines. But you know what's amazing is in the early church time frame, the disciples were fellowshipping every single day. So not just coming together on the first day of the week, like all of the general churches of this time that we live in 2,000 years later, oh, it's just Sunday, you know, we'll kind of come back because we got family, want to hang out. But Acts 2:46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's a blessing. So it's a blessing when you and I fellowship, we invite each other to our homes, let's have a meal. That's what Christians do. We fellowship because there's not as much joy when we hang out with our unbelieving family members and friends than there is with brethren. And obviously, you know, discipling each other. Daily in the temple, Acts 5:42, and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So kind of like I said last Sunday, every gathering we have should be about exalting Jesus and conforming to his image. So we should obviously be focusing on how can we be more like the Lord in our fellowship. It says here, well, this is another good verse, Acts 16:5. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. How about that? Daily. And then let me go ahead and search up one more in the book of Acts here. I think it was for year. Yeah, I think it was the word year. Let me just look this up here because it's a really cool verse on how they fellowship for like one whole year straight. Like, let's see if we can find it together here. Acts chapter number. Oh, yeah, look here. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, this is Barnabas looking for Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. One whole year, every day, fellowship. Let's see here. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Let's see here. Paul said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. Night and day. 3 years. Imagine Paul, you and him going to church for 3 years straight, and he is just teaching you the Bible, but he's warning you about what's going to happen after he leaves. And you know what that Bible says? With tears. Imagine, some of us, we can't come to church one day out of the week consistently, 3 days out of the week consistently. We can't soul win like they were doing consistently every day, by the way. But Paul, 3 years straight, he was hanging out with the brethren, not only teaching them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, but he was warning them. You see how far we've digressed? In other words, that's awesome. That's spiritual. I am not as spiritual as obviously these brethren were. They were meeting every day. That's cool. I think you get the point. So pretty interesting, right? So, I mean, yeah, maybe we can try as a church family, if everybody's up to it, we can just try 1 week. Let's just see if we can hang out 1 week for one day, every day. Let's try to do 1 week of fellowship. We'll have dinner here and let's go out soul winning every single day for one. Let's try it out. Let's see if we can do it. I mean, that's not as spiritual as 3 years, amen, or 1 year, but hey, at least we can try. I think we'll be the first church to ever do that. We can try it. I haven't heard of a church that did that yet. Hey, where are you going to Monday night? church. What you gonna do? Eat and go sowing. All right, let's go do that. Let's try it out. All right, so day of the Lord. Now watch this here. This is the book of Acts 2:20. Now, notice how the author said that the day of the Lord is only referenced three times, but I have more than once in the Bible study software. Pretty cool. So, because like I said, I'm just searching it out in the exact phrase. So day of the Lord, that the wording versus other verses that denote to the same event and just other ways. So watch this. Acts 2:20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So just without even going to the Bible, kind of looking at it in context when Peter's preaching to the Jews, what can you already begin to imagine about the day of the Lord? Is it going to be an exciting, fun time for the inhabitants on the earth, or is it going to be a negative, kind of dreadful time for the inhabitants of the earth? Anybody want to take a guess? Negative time. Just by looking at one verse, it's not really going to be a fun, jolly, happy time for the inhabitants that are on that earth. Where do you fit in as a church and all that? That's why we're studying tonight. Amen. So now here we have it. The next one here, 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So now we're having here the combination of the day of the Lord Jesus. As also, this is 2 Corinthians 1:14, ye have acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Look at that, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. But the day of the Lord will come, 2 Peter 3:10, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So notice the distinction between the day of the Lord and then the day of the Lord Jesus. Look at that, how we're studying that. So the day of the Lord Jesus is not necessarily the same connotation as the day of the Lord. And so those are two different things. We're going to talk about that as we keep going. So I just want to show you guys some of those New Testament references. So now let's look at it. The day of the Lord is introduced with signs just prior to the Lord's second coming. So we saw the first mention there in Acts chapter 2, verse 20, right? Let's go there now in our Bibles, Acts chapter 2, and let's turn there so we can kind of build our minds up a little bit. Here we have the Apostle Peter preaching the gospel to those Jews there, and he is going to quote Old Testament scripture, and that's one of the verses that he just quoted earlier. Let's go now to Acts chapter number 2, and let's go to verse number 16. You guys have to remember that Paul and Peter and James and John, these guys, when they were beginning their early ministry, they did not have New Testament as you and I have it. So it's not like Peter was saying, like Paul said, or like Jude said. No, he was just going off the already revealed, written and preserved word of God, like Joel, an Old Testament prophet, or you know what King David wrote in the book of Psalms. So all they had was the scriptures. That's why whenever you guys read the book of Acts, Paul would go into a synagogue and he would convince them from the scriptures. That's the Old Testament that Jesus was the Messiah. So look at here. He's preaching Acts 2:16. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So then you're going to have to go back to the book of Joel and you're going to have to read that book. You're going to have to kind of take some time to meditate on it, study it out, take some notes. And then you're going to have to ask yourself, what was the purpose for the Holy Spirit putting it on Peter's heart to go back to that book and give it to a present tense, real application to these immediate Jews at that time? What was the similarities? What was the differences? Is it for a present tense, something they can receive, or is it a future, you know, tense? So that's what you should kind of think about when you're studying your Bible, preparing a message. Kind of don't just go off it. You want to kind of go back to that book, study it out. Because one thing that you have to assume when you're studying and teaching is this: not everybody knows everything in that verse you're referring to. So then you're going to have to take time, go back there, explain it out. So for tonight, I'm just kind of giving you guys those nuggets as well to kind of prepare yourself. So here we have it. The prophet Joel, so an Old Testament prophet. So here's what he wrote. We'll go there, but let's see how the New Testament refers to it first. It shall come to pass in the last days. So then what else are you going to pick up on? Last days. When did that start? What are the last days? So then you'll start picking it up in the back of your mind. Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days, see those days, of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. So before you start entertaining the Pentecostal on the street corner or the apostolic who wants to say, this is why we speak in tongues, this is why we're having miracles and prophecy, because, well, look, the Bible says prophecy, prophecy. That's why you, as the student of the Word of God, you're going to go back to the Old Testament, look at what the context was for the Hebrews then, and then ask yourself, what was the purpose for the Holy Spirit using this for preaching to those Jews there, and what is he trying to pull from that without necessarily saying this is required even now? So just kind of think about that. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Now look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Saved. Peter preached from the book of Joel that if these Jews call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. They can be saved. But he is also quoting to them, look, in verse number 20, before that great and notable day of the Lord come, here's what's going to happen. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Now, has that happened yet, anybody? No. So then, now it's safe to say, within our present tense reality, without even knowing a lot of your Bible yet, that hasn't happened to the blood, or sorry, to the moon, to the sun, you know, all this darkness, all these wonders in heaven, that has not yet happened universally speaking. So then what does that tell you? We'll go back to verse number 18. In those days, and then go back here to verse 17, the last days. And that's going to be close to prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So then let's go to the book of Joel, chapter number 2. Now let's study historically that prophet that they were reading, and then why that's a big deal to help us understand the day of the Lord. And so the book of Joel, chapter number 2 in your Old Testament, it is between the book of Hosea and the book of Amos. This is one of those, brothers, that many of your Christian pastors and scholars and teachers say the minor prophets, because it's a very small letter, if you will. It's not like Isaiah, that's a big letter, or Ezekiel. Those are what you call the major prophets. So you have major prophets and minor prophets just by that distinction. So here we have it. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Let's start in verse number 1. And by the way, if you ever want a good context, just always read the first chapter, the first verse, to kind of help you understand who's talking, what's going on to what people, right? But I think it's safe to say you guys already understand a little bit by now, rightly dividing. Nation of Israel, no church in the time of the book of Joel. The nation of Israel, an old Hebrew prophet being, you know, given the word to those people. So here we have it. Verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Now notice the capitalization. When you see that word Lord capitalized, that is the word Jehovah, or the famous, what you call the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And so we don't have time to kind of talk about all the manuscript stuff. It's not a big deal. Just know that this is a reference to the name of the God of Israel. So notice the distinction. In your New Testament, it wasn't all capitalized. So when we say the day of the Lord Jesus versus the day of the Lord, that's another distinction when you're studying your King James Bible. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, so for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess. So far, is the day of the Lord something positive for the inhabitants of the earth, or is it negative? Anybody? Does it sound like judgment, or does it sound like a party? Anybody? Judgment. Okay, so now, see, you're just using your basic spiritual senses. Darkness denotes judgment. Gloominess denotes sadness. So now you're kind of understanding that. It says, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like. So it hasn't happened. Hasn't happened yet. Neither shall be any more after it. So it ain't going to be like it even after that day of the Lord comes. That when that time is fulfilled, there is not going to be any like it before or after. So far it has not happened. And it says, you're even to the ears of many generations. Now, verse 3, a fire devoureth before them. Okay, so there you go. That's all talking about the what, church? The day of the Lord. And behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as a horseman, so shall they run. Who are those guys? We'll talk about that later. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array, Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break the ranks. Who are those people? That sounds like some supernatural men that are empowered with abilities to be able to run without getting tired. You can literally run up a wall. I know I don't mean to get carnal, but you guys seen the movies, you know, the Lord of the Rings, those kind of old school war movies. You kind of seen the battle, if you will, those kind of scenes, if you will. Imagine men running in war, but they're going to be able to literally climb up the wall. Crazy like that. Isn't that wild? Who are those people? I'll give it to you. If anybody wants to sow a seed tonight, champurado. I'll give it to you later. All right, verse 8. Neither shall one thrust another. How about that? Somebody try to stab him? Ain't going to happen. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they shall fall upon sword, they shall not be wounded. Somebody tries to stick him, Brother Felipe, it ain't going to hurt him. So who are these men? We'll talk about that. They shall run to and from the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. That's some supernatural stuff. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. So now you kind of know who these people are. This is the Lord's army. And I don't mean to get ahead of you, but I'm just telling you, who's coming back with Jesus following him on white horses? The church. Are you ready for some free nuggets? That might be you in the future. Running, not growing tired. They try to stick you, brother. What's that? I'm going to climb up this wall, and I'm going to go and administer judgment from the king. That's free. For he is strong that executed this word. For the day of the Lord, there it is again, capital, is great and very terrible. So there you go. Who can abide it? Therefore also now, say the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Remember, guys, Brother Carlos always tells you, it's always been a matter of the heart. God is always one in the heart of his people, or the Gentiles, or whoever he's delivering a word through a prophet or an apostle to prevent judgment to come. He is trying to get the heart of that person to believe him. So he is telling the nation of Israel, rend your heart. In other words, tear that thing up and give it back to me. Trust in me. Not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Isn't that amazing? He just wrote about some hardcore verses. And then he's giving him some grace right there in between. How about that? Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet, sanctify a fast, call solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land, don't forget that, and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he had done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And so now, with all that said, look at all the blessing that's going to come on his people. Who are they? The nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his offspring. In that day, God is going to bless them. God is going to restore them. They're not going to have to be worried no more. They're not going to have to be ashamed. Nobody is going to fight them anymore in that day. No invading armies in that day. Now look at 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Remember the vapor in Acts 2? The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, are you ready for this? This is why we are believers and we uphold that the King James Bible preserves the Word of God perfectly. And when you rightly divide it, it parallels everything perfectly. Look at 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So did you notice what the Spirit of God did in Acts 2 through Peter? When he quoted Joel, what did he tell these Jews there in Jerusalem and all those that came from wherever they were, from uttermost parts of the heaven to celebrate the Pentecost? Okay, if you're following along, look with me real quick. Once again, Acts 2. Acts 2, look up to the screen here. I'm not going to read the verses, but you can read them on your own time. 17, 18, 19. Now watch this, 20, 21. Watch this now. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So that's a specific day and time. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you know what the Spirit of God did there? He took the Word of God that they already had, and he is telling them, before that great day of the Lord, you know, all that physical, supernatural stuff happens, here's what you can do right now. You can call upon the name of the Lord, and he will save you. But in that time, when the Jews are going through the time of great tribulation, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, what are they going to be? Delivered. Delivered from all the judgment that's taking place. So I'm telling you, friend, if you leave the King James Bible alone, it'll do its job. So here we have it. The day of the Lord is introduced with signs prior to the Lord's second coming. What is available for Jews right now? If they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, they will be saved, their soul. But in that time of great tribulation, the remnant will be physically delivered from the judgment to come. That is the salvation of their life, generally, their body, everything. All right, the day of the Lord lasts 1,000 years. If you consider the spiritual application given by Peter, let's go to 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. So right before the day of the Lord begins, if you will, all of those supernatural signs in the heavens, like God prophesied, he will fulfill them. So what does that mean? Right before Jesus Christ descends from the third heaven back onto the earth with the army, which is the redeemed church coming back with him to rule and reign and conquer, etc., etc., that sun is going to be turned off. The moon is going to be turned into what? Blood. All the heavens are going to shake. Like, there's going to be supernatural stuff taking place in the heavenlies. That's why when Jesus comes back, what did the Bible say? Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Why? Because the whole universe is black. It's dark. Have you guys ever been in a dark room before? Raise your hand. Anybody in a dark room? Just maybe your house? Okay. So you can't see nothing. But as soon as you turn on that light, that's the light you see there. So if you can imagine now, the whole universe is dark. The lights, God, just turn them off. And as soon as Jesus Christ is released from the third heaven, all the glory, no wonder everybody on the planet will see him descending. But when in Revelation 1 tell you, they're going to wail. No, no, he's coming. Woo-hoo-hoo. 2 Peter 3:8, Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. So the Lord doesn't want you to be ignorant now, Christian. You got to read your Bible. And one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and as 1,000 years as one day. So we can safely say that the millennial reign, the 1,000 literal year reign of Christ on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is a part of the day of the Lord, the event, if you will. The day of the Lord concludes with the burning up of the present heaven and earth. Let's go to verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's the biblical Big Bang, amen. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I heard a Christian man teaching the other day, ignorantly, unfortunately. He doesn't know, obviously, how to rightly divide the Bible, but he did his best. Amen. He did his best, but he just simply said that the earth is not going to be burned. The earth is not going to be burned. Well, I just read the verse right there. It's going to be burned. Anybody out there? So that's why I'm telling you, friend, leave this Bible alone. It'll do its job. The governments of this world, they don't want to trust the Bible because they want to tax you for carbon tax. They want to tax you for the green agenda. They want to make everything green power, electric this and electric that, because we're ruining the environment. How many of you guys heard that? That's just the government getting your money. You know what God said? I'm going to burn it up. I'm going to burn it up. This thing don't matter. So I'm just telling you. That's why I'm not too, you know, involved with all that silly stuff. And I'll tell you real quick, me and Brother Kwame, we were out there soul winning. I don't know when it was, on a Thursday or a Saturday. And I don't know if Katie was with us or not, but we're walking down to where we post up for the Thursday market. And this lady comes and asks us to sign, you know, the guys, you heard him before, the petition for what? The whales or something silly like that, the fish. She also said, oh, I'm a Christian too. And I said, oh, you are? You got saved? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So have you ever thought about, friend, you know, like how the Bible says that God is going to destroy this earth, you know, on the heavens? You should have seen her face, guys. She was like, what? Like, no, wait, that's what it says. But that's what happens when Christians don't read their Bible. They listen to the politics more. They want to get caught up with all this, you know, new agey, weird, save the planet kind of a thing. And it's just silly. So anyways, there you have it. 584. Anybody have any questions, comments so far? Anybody have any questions, comments so far? Okay, Day of the Lord. It is going to be a specific event to introduce Jesus Christ. But he told Israel, here's what is going to happen before God comes back to the earth. Here's what's going to happen in the heavens. Look out for that sign and wonder, the sun and the moon. Okay, so we know that supernatural stuff is going to go on up there. Supernatural stuff is going to come on down here. It's going to be darkness, gloominess, judgment. It's not going to be a happy time. It is going to prepare the introduction of the king to come down. So he comes down and he reigns. He rules for 1,000 years, Day of the Lord. At the end of the Day of the Lord, that's when all this happens. When God is going to destroy the heaven and the earth, and he is going to create new heavens and new earth. So here we have it, page 584. The onset of the Day of the Lord, the seventh trumpet, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. He shall reign forever and ever. Look at Revelation 11:15. That's why, friend, if you leave the Bible alone, in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15, here's what it says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are what? Anybody out there? Are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's why right now Jesus Christ is not reigning in the United States of America. He's not reigning over Russia. He's not reigning over Africa. He's not reigning over Mexico, because it is still the times of the Gentiles. And the Bible tells you elsewhere that Satan is the god of this world right now. So all this evil that is going on, Christians are ignorant when they say, well, God is in control. He's in control. Not right now. Not right now. He has the ability, but remember, he has a time. It's all a part of his prophetical time. When he returns, then look at what that Bible says in verse 15, are become, they will become his kingdom. And when he rules, he is going to rule with a rod of iron, and ain't no evil going to happen no more under King Jesus' reign. So that's why, friend, don't become so saddened with the politics of this world. And if you don't see the president doing good in your country, or your Congress and your state representatives and your local council members in Oceanside and all this and that, then it's, friend, your Bible already told you, just be busy preaching Jesus. Go out there and soul win. Don't get too caught up in the politics. You already know where you're going. You're going up there. Amen. Don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. So I have a lot of peace, and it's sad to see a lot of Christians getting too involved with politics versus the scriptures. It's a bummer. Okay, so here we have it. Number one, the blood moon. That's the real blood moon. It hasn't happened yet. I want you to be careful for these modern prophets, quote unquote, who want to make books and sell millions of copies and get a lot of money, who want to talk about the blood moon theory. There's a fellow out there, and you guys know Brother Carlos. I don't mention names often, but I will mention this guy. His name is Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn, I would like to say, C-O-N, con, like a con man. I'm not saying he's not saved. He probably is, but he is an ignorant brother going off on these Blood Moon books and the Harbinger books, and he writes a ton of things. He gets on those Christian television shows, real famous. But we already have the Bible. We already told us what it said, and now we know historically, because we're rightly dividing, we already know when that's going to happen. It's going to happen right before the second coming. It's not going to happen before. So what happened was, a couple of years ago, he wrote this book, The Blood Moon, get ready, it's the judgment. And my churches ago, the brother was like, everybody get ready, get your beans and rice ready, because the Harbinger, the Blood Moon is coming. I don't know if you guys remember that. Y'all remember that whole spiel about the Blood Moon and all the moon turning into whatever? Well, here we are. Everybody's all right, amen. All we got is higher gas prices after that, amen. So that's all you got after that. And then obviously the guys, you know, has to write more books. So just be careful with those guys. That's all I'm telling you. So here we have it. Before Jesus comes back, right at the end of the 3.5 years of tribulation, the blood will turn, or the moon will turn into blood. Joel 2:31. Elijah, remember that? Or one of the two witnesses. We already talked about that in love, the various liberties we have and who those two witnesses are. Malachi 4:5. And then timing, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Look at Matthew 24:29. So now, guys, it starts to make sense. If you just put the pieces to the puzzle in their proper place, everything makes sense. There's really nothing, if you will, too mysterious about it, because he already revealed in his word. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So now you know when it's going to happen. It is going to happen in the 7-year tribulation. The last 3.5 years are the great tribulation. And right at the end, like Jesus said, that's when Joel 2 happens, like Peter preached in Acts 2. Right before Jesus descends, all those supernatural things up there, that's when it's going to take place, right? So much like the Hebrew day, made up of evening and morning, the day of the Lord begins with night, spiritually speaking. Isn't that unique? Let's go to Amos chapter number 5. Amos chapter 5. If you're following with me in your study book, we're on page 584. Amos chapter 5. That's why I was encouraging a sister last night, guys, that the Bible is way more exciting than Marvel. It's way more exciting than Superman, Batman, white man, black man, transgender man, Spider-Man, all those men out there. It's way more funner than all those DC comic book, Marvel gods and all those guys. There's so much excitement in this Bible, but the flesh isn't really appeased because there's not a lot of 3D. You don't have a TV. I understand, brethren, I understand that you guys want to keep watching that stuff. That's between you and the Lord. All I'm telling you guys, the more you start reading this Bible, your excitement will be like, man, that's cool. That's what's going to go down. That's what's going to happen. Notice what the Lord is doing there. So I just told a sister last night, guys, I said, sister, man, this Bible is so cool. It has so much rich, you know, doctrine and prophecy, man. I am still like chewing on certain things, but here's where my attention is, amen. So all I'm telling you guys is, hey, the Bible is way more interesting than Marvel and DC and whatever TV show y'all like to watch other. All right, that was free. All right, let's go down. Amos 5, verse number 18. Yes, it's better than, I'm going to have to say it. It is better than, what did Brother Q like to watch all the time? Lord of the Rings, but the, what is the Goku guy? What's his name? Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z, Eileen. It's better than Dragon Ball Z. All right. All of y'all out there. I know y'all be watching all that stuff. Amen. Ain't nobody going to be, ha, man, when Jesus comes back. Amen. All right. Amos 5. Verse number 18. I used to watch it with Q all the time. It was cool. All right. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. How about that? Isn't that funny? We want the day of the Lord. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because God said it's going to be some hardcore stuff. I don't want that day of the Lord. I want him to save my soul right now so I don't have to go through that hardcore time. But here it is. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. There you go, friend. It's not a positive night. It's a very negative time. It's very time of judgment. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Isn't that cool? How God explains to you what the feeling is going to be like for inhabitants on the earth. Isn't that cool how God helps you to understand with your intellect? Here's what the day of the Lord is going to be like. You know, when there's a lion out there and it begins to chase you, what do? You run, boy. That's the day of the Lord. People are going to be running. What's the next thing it tells you? Or a bear. You're gonna be scared. Or like going in a house and all of a sudden a snake bites you out of nowhere. What is that? Pain. That's how it's gonna be. Look at verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? So friend, it is a time of what? Judgment. What is the day of the Lord a time of? There you go. The day of the Lord opens with destruction. Look at Isaiah 13 now. Man, this is some good Bible. I'm getting excited, friend. Ain't nobody got time for Wakanda and all that silliness, man. Shoot, all that. What is brother? Because my friends are telling me they're watching it. That's why, Sister Kina, amen. I'd rather you watch Puss in Boots. No, I'm just kidding. Don't watch that either. No, that's okay. Maybe. Howl ye. Look at what he says. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as what? A destruction from the Almighty. So guys, we've literally looked at probably 3 to 5 verses now that tell you that the day of the Lord is not a fun time. It's not a time for pancakes and puppies, unfortunately, the Lego movie. It is bad. It is hardcore. There's judgment. There's fire. There's darkness. There's gloominess. Whoa, the Bible says to those people who want to ask for that thing. Jeremiah 46. You guys are learning tonight. Amen. I'm learning tonight. Jeremiah 46. This is a good reminder for me too. Verse number 10. Bible says here, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts had the sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. You know what God's going to be doing, Brother Felipe? He is going to be smoking some fools. Anybody ever heard that before? He is going to be taking some people out. Amen. All right, 585. Almost done. The day of the Lord is a result of God's wrath and fierce anger. Let's go back to Isaiah. But you see it here. Look, in Jeremiah 46:10, it is a day when God is going to avenge his anger against his adversaries and generally, collectively, mankind as a whole. Whoever has rebelled and resisted him up until that time, man, that grace period, if you will, that's it. It's going to be cut off. That's it. He's done so much for man to give him an opportunity and a chance to be saved. Look at Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and what? Fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. There you go. How about that? Put that on your coffee cup mug right there, brother. Isaiah 34:8. Isaiah chapter 34. Let's go there now to verse number 8. That's some hardcore stuff right there. Isaiah 34:8. The Bible says here, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So, although this night of suffering may seem long to those who endure it, God's wrath will swiftly give way to the rising of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Watch this. Malachi 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 2. Oh, let's read verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Okay, so now, do you see there, brother? You see how it just said the day? It didn't even include the day of the Lord. That's why in your study Bible or whenever you're studying the software, just type in the day and then look at all the verses. It may take you time, but again, you're studying. Amen. Just say day, day of God, day of the Lord. Look at all those verses with the references, and it'll begin to broaden your understanding. So look at that. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. It's going to be like little, you know, little pieces of wood, if you will. The day that cometh shall burn them up. All right. Say the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, now watch this, shall the Son, do you see that capitalized in your Bible? Of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So, in the 7-year tribulation time period, 3.5 years, the first half, peace, because the Antichrist is going to make a deal with Israel. Peace, 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 everybody, the one world order, you guys ever heard of that, okay? In the middle of that 3.5 years, what does he do? He breaks the covenant of peace. He goes into that rebuilt temple. He sets up his image, and he begins murdering Jews, slaughtering them. I mean, you think Hitler was bad. That's why, guys, they don't know what is coming to them. That's why hopefully they get saved. But the Jews that fear God, the Jews that repent and they end up reading their scriptures, they end up trusting Jesus Christ, they're going to read that Bible. God forewarned them in the book of Daniel and with Jesus in Matthew. Flee to where? The mountains. Run over there. You better get going. Don't even look back, the Bible told them. So the remnant, it's a small portion, guys, of Jews. The meanwhile, everyone else is going to stay. So they're going to go. They're going to run. And then God is going to supernaturally preserve the remnant, that little small portion of Jews, from what? All that other stuff, the judgment, all that wrath, a little small portion. And then at the end, like it said there, remember before Christ physically returns, the sun, the moon, the heavens, all that stuff going on, the supernatural in the universe, who's going to come? Well, we know the Son of God is, but look at how the Bible calls him the Son of Righteousness. Literally, guys, his appearing is going to be like the brightness of the sun. And he is going to come with healing. Healing. So all this considered, the day of the Lord holds much more light and hope for Israel than the short period of despair. Although it opens with God's wrath upon earth's inhabitants, it swiftly yields to the Lord's deliverance and establishment of his earthly millennial kingdom. It is a day when the Lord is in charge on earth, if you will. It is his day. He is the judge, the king, the prophet, and the priest. Anybody have any questions, comments so far? Questions, comments? Let's finish our last chapter and we'll close with prayer. 585, children of the day versus children of the night. Now, with all that considered about to come, turn your Bible now to 2 Peter 3. This is free. This is Brother Carlos, and then we'll go back to notes real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. Turn your Bible there. This is Brother Carlos, not the notes, and then we'll finish up with the notes. Okay? Watch this now. So how many of you guys believe the Bible? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Okay. So do you believe that Jesus Christ gave you eternal life when you called upon him? When you said, Lord, I believe you're the Son of God who died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead to give me eternal life. Would you save me? Did you believe that? Okay. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Anybody? It should be your authority. It should, right? Do you believe that? Okay. So do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back one day to take his church home? Okay. Do you believe he's going to judge you for your works one day at his judgment seat? Okay. Do you believe that he's coming back to rule on the earth for 1,000 years and doing all that stuff we just read about? Do you believe that? I am going to ask you one more question now. Do you live like you believe that? Are you ready now? Ooh, some of y'all. Now look at here. Look at verse 10. Let's read it again. The day of the Lord will come. It's coming. As a thief in the night, nobody going to know. In the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. That's what's going to happen to the creation one day. Are you ready now? Here's what the Spirit of God says. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Isn't that wild, Christian? You know what the Spirit of God just said there? You know he's coming. You know he's going to judge. He's going to judge Satan, the angels, the evil ones. Don't worry about all the UFOs and all that stuff. God is going to take care of all that supernatural stuff. So if you know that he's coming back to judge the earth, if you know that he's coming back to preserve Israel, if you know that he's coming back to fulfill his promises, how should you be living right now? You should be living holy. You should be living godly. And what did it say there? All conversation. In the marriage, while you're single, while you're a young person, when you go to work, when you come back home, when you come to church, God said, if you know I'm going to do all this, how should you be living? So that's why I'm telling you, friend, it's not just enough to know. You got to do it. You got to live in anticipation. Now you know that. All right, so we're looking, as the Bible says, verse 12, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. So you see it there, brother? Notice how he said, day of the Lord, the day of God. You see there? Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. A new earth. It's a brand new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, are you looking for that? Be diligent that ye may be found of who? Him. In peace, without spot, and blameless, that ye may be found of him. So here's what's going to happen. Let's say if Jesus Christ comes back tonight, praise God, hallelujah, we are up on out of here, glorified, no more debt, no more credit card debt. Some of you guys would like that, amen. No more all that, you know, hardcore drama, no more pain, no more sorrow. Jesus comes back, he calls us, the trumpet sounds, we are caught up together to meet him in the air. But then we're judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Felipe and him by yourself, Maribel and Jesus by yourself, Giovanni, Kina, all of us by ourselves, standing before Jesus Christ, and he is talking to us about what we did for him. And I don't know, guys, this is just Brother Carlos. You can take it with a grain. I don't know if he's going to show us all of our works after we got saved. I don't know if the fire will kind of portray an image of all the things we did, the secrets, the thoughts, the desires, all the lusts. I don't know. But you know what the Holy Spirit told you? Before he finds you, before he gets you up there to be with him, why don't you start living that you can be found of him without all that stuff? You should try your best to live in anticipation so that when Jesus comes and gets you, he can find you doing what you're supposed to do. So remember how we talked about that last Friday? Well, what about if a Christian is in sin before Christ comes? Well, they're going to go up there. Remember the type of Lot and being pulled up there. But why would you want to be a Lot? Why would you want to just be lingering up in the world, amen? That's free. That's free, brother. But you got tamales, so I guess you satisfied that. Okay, so we should be living. We should be living for the Lord and like serving him. So all this considered, we're going to come to an end. Last chapter, 585. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 provides the great detail concerning the church's blessed hope, which we call the rapture. But the context immediately shifts in the next chapter. This shift is twofold. One, from the rapture, the blessed hope in 1 Thessalonians 4, to the day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5, and a shift in the people. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to come to an end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and read now in verse number 1. We're going to end with this last chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You see, friend, that's all I can tell you. All I can ask you, brother, Giovanni, Felipe, Sister Maribel, all of y'all, all I can say is, would you just do a little bit more for Jesus? Can you just do a little bit more? Can you read your Bible a little bit more? Can you pray? Can you come to church? Can you sell one? Can you give? All that. Can you just do a little bit more than what you're doing? That's better. That's better. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Remember 2 Peter 3, while I'm waiting for Jesus, if I'm not married, stay pure. If you're married, living for Jesus, stay pure for your wife, your husband. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Don't act like a non-believer. You're saved now. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Okay, there you have it. If you have a business dealing or a negotiation or an agreement with a Christian, come on. Because that the Lord is the avenger. Now, there you have it. For all your Marvel fans out there, Jesus is the true avenger. Anybody, that's free. Of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit. So you know what he's saying there? If you despise the scripture, you're not despising Paul, the apostle. You're not despising the teacher, if it's Timothy or some of these other guys back in the day. You're not despising Brother Carlos trying to pastor you and remind you one-on-one. You're despising God when you don't want to live for God. That's all we're saying here. How about that? But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So if he's teaching you, why don't you let him to continue to teach you everything else? How about that? And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are now in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. So that man, we should preach that, huh, brother? We should say you should do more and more for Jesus. And then just study to be quiet. Some of y'all out there, how many out there? And to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Amen. Some of y'all got a job out there. Praise the Lord. As we commanded you. So yes, that's a command, y'all. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. That's the unbeliever. And that ye may have lack of nothing. You ain't going if you're working. How about that? But I will not have you to be ignorant. So notice how the Spirit of God just did that. Right before he tells you about the rapture, Christian, you know what he just told you? How to live, all right? He just told you how to live before the rapture. He just told you to keep loving and keep forgiving and keep growing and keep going to church and keep being faithful and keep giving and do more of it and do more of it and do more of it before Jesus comes back. How about that? Brother Carlos, what should I do before Jesus comes back? Hey, why don't you just come to church, man, like faithfully? Why don't you just start giving? Why don't you just start sowing? Why don't you just start doing more and more? Because that's what he wants you to do before he comes back. Anybody out there? All right, that's free. We're not preaching. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So Christians that have already died. that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, who believes that? Okay. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So what does that mean? Their physical bodies will resurrect from the dead before you and I are raptured. So when Jesus comes for the church is already up in heaven. Obviously, the Christians have already gone up there. So they're going to come down with him, and their bodies are supernaturally going to fly up there to meet him. Don't worry, brother, if their bodies were burnt or drowned or, you know, acid and all that, don't worry about it. He upholds all things by the word of his power, every molecule Jesus upholds. So don't worry, he can get all their bodies back in form. And so once their bodies go up, then you go. So then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what we should be doing. So what should we be doing? We should be comforting each other with these words. Not just the coming of Jesus, but for us serving Jesus before he comes. Anybody out there? Okay, last chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. We're almost done. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So notice the distinction, if you're following along. The day of Jesus, rapture of the church. Anybody following along? Day of the Lord, all the other stuff we've been talking about. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Notice, that's not the same as the rapture, okay? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. That's why the Christian will not go through the tribulation. That's what the Holy Spirit just told you. Ye are all the children of, and the children of the, we are not of the, nor of, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, hope you are a Christian tonight, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for and helmet of the hope of, helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me end with this. Remember, just because the word salvation appears in your Bible, it's not the same definition in every single moment there. So he just told you, you're not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. You are going to obtain not only the salvation for your soul, but deliverance. That's what that salvation is there. Deliverance from what? The wrath to come. That is all that stuff that we read about. Okay. All right, friend. Anybody have any questions, comments before we come to a close? Anybody out there? Okay, Bible trivia. What is the day of the Lord? Anybody out there? Just one nugget that you learned tonight. Anybody? Or what are some antecedents? What are some things that happened right before? Anybody? Yes. What else? Darkness. Yes. What else? Famine. Okay. What else? The sun. What happens to the sun? Oh, in the future. Yeah. God is going to melt that thing in the future.
Yeah, he said it turns dark.
It turns dark. Yes. What else? Well, the Lord did say he's going to burn people. Yes, correct. The light. Correct. Now, we didn't talk about this tonight, but obviously the army, who's going to follow him on horses? The church, okay. So then, if you know the day of the Lord, all the judgment, we were trying to get people saved. We know that. I know you're trying your best. Tell your family and friends, tomorrow we're going to have a chance to go soul winning. But I think the most important thing that I would try to encourage you to meditate on tonight is just like the Bible told us in 2 Peter 3 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. If you know all that is going to happen, how should you be living? How should you be living? What manner of conduct should you be living today? You should be living in a manner that is anticipating your Savior coming for you. That's all we're saying. Anybody out there? Okay. So you deal. You take it out. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to close in prayer. Just a friendly reminder, if you would like to be obedient with us tomorrow to honor the Lord and going into the world to preach Jesus, soul win, come meet with us tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We're going to pray together, get our scriptures and our tracks. We're going to go door knocking, as you guys know, for about an hour as usual. Take a break and then go straight downtown and then enjoy the rest of our day. Amen. Anybody out there, comments, questions? No? You guys good? All right. Join us if you can tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to gather once again for Friday Night Discipleship, Lord. It sure was a humbling reminder, God, to me of how you expect for me to live before all of this amazing prophecies come to pass, God. I am so thankful that you were patient enough for me to be saved, and not only to be saved, but to help me to start living right before I meet you, Lord, one day. Lord, that's what it's all about, not just coming to Jesus to get saved, but now living for you in a manner that is worthy of you and acceptable in your sight. So, Lord, tonight, God, I know we talked a lot about the day of the Lord and a lot of theological information. Father, I pray that it wasn't overwhelming for the saints. I pray your Holy Spirit will help them to understand these things in due time. But, Lord, tonight, as we read the scriptures, it's very clear, Lord, I think it's really hitting me home, God. What manner of persons ought we to be before all this comes to pass? As your scriptures told us, we should be living right for you, Lord. We should be living without spot and blameless so we can be found of you, my Lord Jesus. Before we even meet you for the first time, we should be living in anticipation as we know all these things to come. So, Lord, help us to do more and more, just like the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians. Help our church members to come to church more, to give more, to win souls more, to participate in discipleship more, to teach more. Help them to do more for you until they meet you. I thank you for them. We thank you all. Or I'm sorry, we all thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, love you. God bless you. Let's have some good fellowship. Amen.